from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there, and welcome to the rewrap for Tuesday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast in a sillier package. I am Glenn CB. And this morning, are people in public positions being paid too much? Chinese New Year and how it will affect our markets. David Duchovny, the one and only, joins us about music, not acting. And Mike Hosking thinks he does a good impersonation but doesn't. But before any of that, free-to-air sport, is that ever going to be a thing and why should it be?
Lots of countries have laws that protect free-to-air events. In Britain, it's Wimbledon, Ascot, Ashes, all sorts of major events. In Australia, it's the Melbourne Cup, the Australian Open. Here, it's nothing. Now, to be fair to the aforementioned examples, they do have completely different TV markets with completely different monetary frameworks. Here, we've got a couple of TV outlets. One is the States, which makes virtually no profit, and the other is owned by a California vulture fund that makes less than no profit, which brings us to why Clayton doesn't stand a hope of ever having his dream become a reality. Clayton has been here before, you see. Clayton got a bill into the House for free-to-air sport, and do you know who voted for it? About no one. Not National, not Labour. Why? Because they're not fiscally idiotic, the way Clayton clearly is. Just how many tens of millions do you reckon we would need to fork out to every sport and its cousin to get it on free-to-air telly? So if I were Clayton, having failed in opposition, I mean, here's the challenge, though. Here's the challenge. Why isn't it part of the coalition agreement? Why isn't it government policy? Why, when at last Clayton finds himself on the benches of power and reform, isn't he announcing we can all watch the luge for free? He announced grandiosely yesterday that Sky's coverage on Prime was not good enough. Well, Clayton, what are you going to do about it?
Ooh. Hosking, he sounded quite butch then, didn't he? That's probably the least metrosexual I've ever heard him sound. Don't worry, he'll correct all that later on in the podcast. Meanwhile, the inquiry into how much people are being paid who are in charge of public stuff, I haven't really said that very well. Maybe Mike will do a better job.
The argument from the government is the public are deeply concerned about the pay rates of government CEOs, so Mr. Hughes now has to sign them all off. Are we? Are we deeply concerned? I'm only concerned if they're idiots. If they're good, you can pay them whatever you like. That bloke Wright, Derek Wright, at the Waikato DHB, who's sacking Deadwood and putting the rest of the DHBs to shame, he can get paid whatever he asks for, as far as I'm concerned. He's doing good work. Adrian Orr, $1 million plus at the super fund. Everyone goes, he's added billions to the nation's savings account. He's worth every cent. Meantime, that fool who was running health, who fell on his sword, who quit before Christmas, turns out he wasted money on trips and consultants up the wazoo to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars. See, 1% isn't the real world. Across the board, as they say, across the board isn't remotely 21st century. But what do I know? Chris Hipkins and his control freak state services commissioner, they're cracking down, which leads to the very important point. If the pay's no good, if the increases don't recognise success, who on earth would waste their time turning up for the state service? Why, if you're talented and in demand in a work environment where good people are like gold dust, would you insult yourself with bad pay, no recognition, and penny-pinching bureaucrats whose main jolly in life is bashing the goodwill out of you with a clipboard? The public service, although not a revenue generator in general, is generally vitally important, and as such deserves to be top-notch. It deserves a reputation of excellence. It deserves the best people. It's open to extraordinary scrutiny. And if the reward for all that is, you know, basically ordinary money, an old Husey on your case, no one good is applying for anything, and they will get the outcomes they deserve.
I mean, I think people don't like people being paid more than they're getting paid. That's what it comes down to. So if everybody could just get paid a bit more, I'd certainly be in favour of that. Interestingly, we had the State Services Minister, Chris Hipkins, on the show this morning, and he basically said that he'd been listening to News Talk ZB a lot, and people were angry about how much people in those positions were getting paid. So, who's to argue with News Talk ZB? Now, the Chinese New Year is underway. Unfortunately, the year of the dog might not be a good year for the markets.
All the ins and the outs. It's The Biz on the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ on News Talk ZB.
So Chinese New Year celebrations have begun. There's a warning for investors. We've got the year of the dog, of course. It officially all starts Friday, but Auckland Feng Shui Master Francis Lee is predicting it's going to be a challenging year for New Zealand. You heard it here first. Challenging year for New Zealand. He says the year comes with double earth elements, which present significant difficulties or feeling stagnant. Especially in the real estate and construction industry. So we're going to see, he says, a significant slowdown in the property market, especially in the northern part of New Zealand.
Well, I've been wondering why I've been feeling so stagnant.
Yeah, well, exactly. I don't think that's a new feeling for you, but perhaps at
no,
least
no,
you've
no,
got
I've
an
I've been wondering that for some time, yeah, not exactly. Just in the year of the dog, but in the year of various other animals
I don't know that,
as well.
What's his name? Guy with the glasses. Yesterday was talking about it. Housing Minister, come on, give it to me. Give it to me, the Housing Minister for the Labor government. He's been... Who? Autistic. Phil Twyford. How could I forget old optimistic Phil? He obviously hasn't heard the predictions because, of course, he's got Kiwi Build coming and he's building tens of thousands of houses up and down the country. So I don't know how that's going to fit into his feng shui.
It's amazing to me, like, you know, how it's always the year of this, you know, the rat, the dog, the snake. Some of the animals are definitely nicer and cuddlier than others. And I feel like the year of the dog, it's a bit of a doubt. Is there a year of the teddy bear? I'd like to be born in that year, I think. Or at least the polar bear. But I don't think there is. Now, David Duchovny, I'm a fan. No, Mike didn't talk to him about Red Shoe Diaries at all, but he did talk to him about making music.
So there's one thing by starting to play the guitar, but what happened or at what point did you go, actually, I'm quite good and I'll do some writing and I know then I'll do an album and why won't I go out and perform in something? You know, how'd that work?
I never had that thought, actually, I'm quite good. I'm not a good guitar player and I don't think I ever will be, but I'm serviceable enough to know chords and to be able to put chords together. In the beginning, I just started teaching myself songs that I liked in order to learn chords. That was kind of my ass-backwards way of going about it. And then I just started putting chords together on my own, and I found that I heard melodies introducing themselves over those chords, and then writing lyrics would come probably the easiest part for me of the whole thing.
And did you have a confidence in you from your previous success or the success you were enjoying to think, actually, why can't I do this? Because presumably if you're good at one thing, there's no reason why you can't be good at something else.
Well, if you're good at one thing, there's no reason why you can be good at something else either. I mean, the both those things are true. I knew that I could probably get people interested in what I was doing more easily than if I hadn't had any notoriety in another field. But I didn't really, I mean, the only confidence I had was that to start to work on the songs and to listen to them and to think, oh, well, these are decent songs. It was really just my own estimation of what the music was and not really, I mean, my sense of my own taste in music is pretty, I don't want to say it's solid, but it's instinctual, and I think if I was making really shitty music, I would know that. at least shitty for me, you know what I mean, in my taste. So I'm not making, you know, I'm not making shitty music to my ears. They may be shit. It might be shit to somebody else's ears, but
not to
I have
ears.
The confidence of my own taste, I guess.
Just before we played that interview, Mike wanted to know if I'd bleeped out any of the quote offensive unquote language, and I it was my feeling that that's a technical musical term, shitty music. It's not actually an offensive, he didn't mean it offensively, he just meant it technically, so we should be alright there, pretty sure. Finally, Mike doesn't know what he's talking about when he quotes movies, as it turns out.
Mike, you're on fire this morning. How about also going back to 7 Sharp with Tony? They need your help. Bruce, you never look back. You always look forward. What's before me is not behind me.
That's what from the hell was that? I mean, seriously.
That.
What the actual hell was that?
That is from the Gumball Rally, one of the great movies of all time.
I really don't think it was.
It was so.
What's I don't remember any Pakistani guys in that movie
No, he's Italian. And so what he's doing just before the Gumball rally starts is he takes his rear vision mirror.
You misunderstand me. I know the part of the movie that you're talking about. That wasn't it. It wasn't even close to it.
It was pretty close. I reckon if you got a quote from that movie and you played me, I'd be virtually indistinguishable.
Talk about throw down the gauntlet. So here's the movie.
What's behind me is not important.
And here's Mike.
What's before me is not behind me.
So as you can hear, not only was the accent terrible, but he actually got the quote completely around the wrong way as well. On that note, I am Glenn ZB. That was the rewrap. And no matter which way round it is, it'll be here again for you tomorrow on Valentine's Day. I'll see you then.